Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we can come together today to proclaim the truths that we've just been singing about. Oh Lord, you are, Jesus, you are our Savior, our Redeemer. You are the Lord of this church. You are the one who came and died on the cross for our sins. You are the one who poured out your Holy Spirit with power into your church. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are one with the Father in creation, our Creator, our Sustainer, the ruler of all things. And Lord, we thank you that you are the one who has come and given us hope and life and freedom and the hope of the resurrection to come because of all that you have done for us. Lord, you've put your word in our hearts. You've sown into us the word of life. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege it is to be part of your forever family and to be able to join together in the work that you are doing now in this world to bring your word, the message of life in Christ, to a world that is in need. And Lord, as we have already prayed this morning, you know, one way of doing that is through these shoe boxes that we are releasing today to be an expression of your love. And Lord, we also recognize that you have called us to be partners with you in reaching out and touching the lives of people around us. And Lord, you've given us that message of life, and you've called us to be your witnesses. So today, Lord, as we study your word, as we hide it in our hearts, as we reflect on the implications of the stories that we read in the scriptures, Lord, and how they apply to our lives, Lord, we just pray that you would give us that real desire to know you, to hear you speak to us, so that you can fill into us that word of life that not only brings us alive, but Lord, that helps us to be able to share the truth that we know to those around us in the world who need to understand your love, your truth, and come to that place of following your ways. For you are the way, the truth, and the life. And we know that no one comes to the Father. No one enters into that relationship with the Father except through Jesus. And Lord, so we pray today that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to understand, to know what you are calling us to today. To be agents of reconciliation in the world. To be those who deliver the message that you have given to us to share with others in the world. So Lord, we ask that in this time of studying your word together today, that you would help us to clear away all the things that would hinder us and help us to really hear what the Spirit is saying to your church today. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, yesterday, I had the opportunity with two other members from our church to head down to the Trent Valley Association fall rally. And, you know, there was all the business that we do with all the reports and all the budgeting and even voting on some, you know, key issues that are impacting our churches today. And, you know, adopting a new constitution and a new covenant for things that related to the our association with each other in our churches. And then we had the opportunity to be led by our guest speaker for the morning in an understanding of The speaker was Kathy McIntosh. I'm not sure if any of you know Kathy, but she used to be one of the community outreach pastors at Uxbridge Baptist Church, but now she's working with Alpha Canada. And so her task was to come and share a little bit about Alpha, but also about our role in evangelism, personal evangelism, sharing our faith with others around us. And you know, as she was talking about it, you know, she said that, you know, many times we have this sense as church members that, you know, how do I really get the message out to other people? You know, I mean, it's sometimes scary to have to go and talk to somebody about our faith in Jesus because we don't know how they're going to respond. She talked about how, you know, we need to learn how to receive that rejection of the no, you know, when people say, no, I don't want to hear about it. But she also talked about, you know, recognizing that we do have something to share with people. We have a message that's been given to us. And a lot of times we think that message is really hard to get out. But then she had us do an exercise. And the exercise was to pair up with another person. And, well, because there were three of us, we, you know, paired up with three. And the task was to share what your favorite movie was and why. And so when we had just a minute or so to do that, and, you know, with three people, you know, it's hard to everybody to share. And, well, it was even harder because when Gary started sharing about his favorite movie, he went on and on and on and on. And Emily and I didn't even have a chance to share. So I want to share what my favorite movie was today, okay? Because for me, it's easy to talk about. Actually, it's one of the very first movies that I can ever remember as a teenager really watching or being exposed to at that time. And, you know, it's going to sound funny, but this was back in 1973, okay? This movie came out, and it won 7 Academy Awards. And it starred Paul Newman and Robert Redford. And the movie was called The Sting. Anybody remember that movie, The Sting? Yeah. You know, I do remember a lot about the movie because I've seen it many times afterwards. But one of the things that really captured me when I was a teenager, who really loved movies, because I was really into making my own movies. I had my grandparents' old wind-up movie camera, you know, and I was really into doing that and splicing the film and putting it all together, making movies. What really captured me about that movie was not necessarily the whole story, but it was some of the elements of it. The music in it was amazing. Do you remember what the music was? It was Scott Joplin's ragtime music. The Entertainer, da 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 da. It just captured me. And then there were some special effects that they had. And they were the storyboards. I don't know if you remember. It was one of the first movies that they used kind of storyboards to move the plot along. You know, those storyboards were really nice graphics. But, you know, for those days it was, today it wouldn't be, much. But in those days it was like the storyboard. And it was just every shift in the plot, there was a storyboard that said, you know, the mark, what was another one? The mark. There was the setup, and then there was the wire. Now that was when they really got into the action of what they were all about in the plot. You know, all of those things, I mean, I remember them. And you know what? I can get pretty animated about that, right? I remembering all of these things that really were captured me about that movie. And that was the point that she was making. is that we get excited about so many things in our life. And when we sit down and talk with something that we're really excited about, it just flows, doesn't it? You know, it's either your favorite movie, it might be your favorite food, it might be, you know, it could be your favorite book, and you start sharing it with somebody, and they go, oh yeah, I have, and they, you get into a conversation, and it flows with ease, because it's something that's coming from inside of us. And so what she was reminding us there was that, you know, when we tell of our story to other people, the things that capture us about Jesus, the things that you know, how God has changed our life, you know, what can people say against you? Because it's your story, it's your life. And you're just sharing it with passion and love towards them. And so, you know, as I was thinking about that and how that relates to our message today, you know, I got thinking about storyboards. You know, I redid a little bit of the message, because I was thinking about these storyboards. And I was thinking, you know, the story that we're reading today from Acts chapter 10 is amazing. It's an amazing story that Luke shares with us. It's all about how God delivers the message. How God delivers the message to us, and then through us to others. And the impact that has on the people who are receiving the message. And it's amazing, you know. And so I'm gonna use some the storyboards. Okay, the first is the mark, okay, from this story. The story that we're looking at today is the story of Peter or Cornelius and Peter. And so in Acts chapter 10 verses 1 and 2, we meet the mark, Cornelius. And it's not Peter who's marked out Cornelius to receive the message. It's God who has marked out Cornelius to receive the message. And we're going to see that in the story. So we have Cornelius. Listen to how Luke describes this man Cornelius, the mark. All right? He's the mark. He's the one that God's got his eye on. All right? This is what we read. He says, at Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius. He was a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. This is Cornelius. He's the mark in this story. He's a Roman centurion. What does that tell us about him? Well, first of all, he's Gentile. Okay, he's not Jewish. He's also part of that bigger group of conquering people, the Romans, who were oppressing the people around. But he had something different about this man. We're told that he was devout and God-fearing. And his whole family was that way. Devout and God-fearing. And you know, which indicates that he possibly could have been a proselyte to Judaism. He might have been someone who had converted to Judaism, but probably not, because of his position within the Roman army. So, you know, it just kind of puts this in mind that, you know, this man, well, what does it mean that he was devout and God-fearing? What does it mean? If anybody can tell me exactly, you know, that would help me out too. But what it really indicates is that there was something about this man that had his attention turned towards God. And we're not told if it was one of his gods, you know, the Roman gods, or if it was God himself. But here again, it says that he prayed to God regularly. And not only that, but he was a man who was very philanthropic. He you know, was generous in giving to the needs of those around him. You know, as I describe this man, the Mark, you know, this guy, what is that kind of impression does that kind of leave with you? This man was what? He was a really good man, right? Really good man. He was trying to be a good, God-fearing man. And you know, in the scriptures it says, you know, the fear of God is what? The beginning of wisdom and understanding. The fear of God. It's God-fearing. You know, by all human standards, as we look at this man, he was a good man. And you know, as we think about it, you know, it sounds pretty close to the kingdom of God, doesn't it? Sounds like he was pretty close to the kingdom. But you know what? He wasn't quite there. He was not quite there. And you know, there are a lot of good people in this world who are very close to the kingdom. You know, Jesus recognized that on many occasions. He would say to people, oh, you know, you're pretty close to the kingdom, but you're not quite there yet. And so, you know, God recognized that. God saw this man who was so close. And he marked him out. He set him out, set him apart, set him in his sights. And he set him up. He set him up to receive the message of salvation. You know, as I was thinking about this whole thing about him being the Mark, I think of all those people that are out there around us in the world who are like this man, Cornelius, who are good people, just living their life. How many of them has God marked for salvation? Do you know? No, we don't. We don't know who God has marked for salvation. We don't know the work that God is doing in people's lives, bringing them to that place and getting them almost there, almost across the finish line. Almost, but not quite. And we may look at somebody and think, oh, you know, do I need to tell them about the gospel of Jesus? Do I need to tell them about who Jesus is? Well, they look pretty good. Well, let's go to the next part of the story. Next storyboard that flashes up here. It's the setup. The setup. And Luke tells us how the Lord set up Cornelius to receive the message. It's really amazing. You know, God is doing the setting up here. God acknowledges that, you know, this man is someone who prays. God acknowledges this man is there's something there that God wants to draw to himself. So this is what Luke said, how Luke describes this setup. He says, one day, about 3 in the afternoon, Cornelius had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius, Cornelius. Cornelius just stared at him in fear. And he said, what is it, Lord? What is it, Lord? He asked, and the angel answered him. He said, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now, here's what we want. Here's what God wants you to do. Send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is in the sea, is by the sea. And when the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. Hold on a second here. God is speaking to this man, Cornelius. He speaks to him in a vision. What's going on here? God's just speaking directly to this man. Isn't it remarkable how God gave this vision to someone who was not yet a believer? Began to speak to him, his heart, to prepare his heart for the message that was going to be delivered. You know, we think this is odd. You know, that it's kind of out of place. It's kind of out of order. But you know, God is doing that even today. Did you know that? God is doing that all around the world today in many places, especially in places where the gospel is not allowed to be preached. In closed countries, where to preach the gospel means that your life is in danger every moment of the day. In some Islamic countries that are very close to the gospel, did you know that God is speaking directly through dreams and visions to Muslim men and women, bringing them to faith in Jesus Christ? Speaking directly to people's hearts, transforming them, changing them. God's Spirit is at work, setting up people's hearts, preparing them for the gospel. But do we recognize that? Do we see that? No, we often don't see it, but it's happening around us. You know, in this vision, that Cornelius was given, he was told to send for a specific man who was at a specific place who would deliver to him and his household a specific message. How much more specific can you get? You know, and I'm sure he didn't really understand. He didn't understand what was going on. When was the last time he saw a vision of God? You know, from God. I think this is the first time he was kind of shaken, I'm sure. This was out of his comfort zone. But he responded and sent his servants to find this Simon Peter. Does this story sound familiar? You know, it should sound familiar to us because a couple weeks ago when we were studying through Acts chapter 9, verses 10 to 17, it was to Ananias that God showed up. You know, a believer, a follower of Jesus, that God showed up in a vision and sent him on his way to see the apostle Saul, to see Saul, who God had given him a specific person in a specific place, and he had a specific message for him. That was the other way around. It was the believer who was given that. Well, this was the non-believer who was given this at this point, Cornelius. And I find it truly amazing when I reflect on this story how the Lord set up both Cornelius and Peter for what would happen in this story. As Peter was called to deliver a message to Cornelius. You know, as Cornelius sent his men on this seek and find mission, the scene changes to the specific man in that specific place who was, and you know, this specific man was Peter. And he was staying at this friend's place in the town of Joppa. And it's not surprising then that if God was setting up Cornelius, that God would also be working in Peter's heart as well to prepare him to be able to take up his part in this story. God was preparing Peter for this very important message that he was to deliver. And listen to how Luke describes that. He says this in the next few verses. He says, about noon the following day, as Cornelius's men were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on a roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." "Surely not, Lord," Peter replied. "I've never eaten anything impure or unclean." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." This happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven while Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision. Just then, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. And while Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit of God said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. So get up and go downstairs and do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Wow. You know, I'm sure that was kind of an unsettling vision for Peter. A challenging vision to receive. Not just once, but three times he had that vision in that short time that he was upstairs praying. And you know, when I think about it, why was this vision so challenging to Peter? Well, if you really look at it, it was a message that Peter didn't really want to hear. It was a word from God that Peter was very reluctant to embrace. Because the Lord was asking him to do something that was way out of his theological comfort zone. And to accept these instructions would mean that he would have to radically rethink his operational theology. Because as he had grown up in his Jewish home, he had always been taught all the rules of table fellowship, all the rules of washing your hands, all those things. You know, Jesus had started to transform these things and challenge these things. But here again, he was being reminded in a very graphic way through this vision that he was not to call anything that God had made clean unclean. And he didn't understand. He didn't really get it until that knock on the door came. And as Peter was contemplating the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius, a Roman soldier and two of his Gentile servants, arrived at the gate of the house where Peter was staying. And they came to deliver a message to Peter. And this is the message that they delivered to him. They came and they started to tell Peter about Cornelius's story and to deliver to them the invitation to come with them to deliver a message that God was giving to Peter. Wow. You know, it sounds kind of complicated, but we've got a message for you because you've got a message for us. Did you know that? And so, surprisingly, what happens next is that Peter invites them into the house to stay overnight. Again, it's surprising because, again, Gentiles, we don't know what the servants were. They could have been Gentiles or they could have been others, but for all intents and purposes, they were not people that you hosted in your home or your friend's home overnight. Broke some rules there. But God had said to Peter, don't treat anyone, anything as unclean that I have made clean. So Peter invites them in, and then the next day, Peter agrees to go with them, and they head back to Caesarea. And when they get to Caesarea, to Cornelius' house, something amazing happens. Peter's greeted warmly by Cornelius, and as he is, he asks Cornelius, why did you send for me? Why? Why am I here? And then Cornelius tells him firsthand the story that he had already received from the servants. And what's really interesting about that is that this is the third time that that story is told in this chapter. Notice it. It's the third time. And you know, Luke has a reason for us by sharing that three times. He has the reason behind that is he wants us to get the message. He wants us to get the message that, you know, when God begins to work in someone else's heart, even if they're a non-believer, God is working in people's hearts. And he wants us to understand that God is doing the work. God's preparing people. He wants us to understand that when we give of ourselves and open up ourselves to delivering the message that God is putting on our heart for someone else, then some amazing things can happen. But we're kind of dense sometimes. We need to be told three times that God was at work in Cornelius. He was setting it all up. So when Peter got there, as Cornelius is sharing this, Cornelius invites him to come in. And he goes, okay, obviously God's got this set up for us today. He comes in and he looks at all the people that are in his house, probably about this many people. Look around you, all this many people. Probably that was his household. All of his servants, all of his family members, maybe some of his loyal attendants, you know, from the military. They're all there. And they're all wide-eyed. What message do you have for us? Because the way Cornelius ends that section, he says, you're here because God has a message that he has told you to deliver to us. Oh. Okay. And then it dawns on Peter. In that moment, all the pieces of the story come together for Peter and Cornelius as Peter recognizes that the Holy Spirit has been orchestrating this beautiful opportunity for the message of salvation to come to a whole household. God's been doing the work, setting up all the pieces, bringing them into contact with each other. And so listen to what the beautiful message that Peter shares with Cornelius and his family as his household and all his household servants. You know, it's a powerful example to us of the gospel that saves and transforms. It's the gospel that you know, the gospel that I know. And Peter puts the personal spin on it, just shares his story. Listen to what he says. He says, I now realize that how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. The message just came out. It just flowed from him because it was his passion. It was Peter's passion. He knew Jesus and he wanted to share that message with them. Don't you just love the way God's Spirit works and moves in the hearts of men and women who are open to his instruction and to his leading? You know, although these visions, both these men received were not necessarily or not easily understood at first and caused each of them to go beyond their comfort zones, they were both willing to follow the leading of God's Spirit. And the impact? Transformation. Transformation. Lives forever changed by God's grace. You know, the conclusion of this story in Acts chapter 10, verses 44 to 48 is beautiful. Luke says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And then Peter said, "Surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. For they had received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So we ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." And all the people in that household came to a living faith in Jesus Christ as their saviors and lords. You know, this is the impact for the kingdom of God, when we are open to partnering with God in the delivery of the message. The message that he has given to you and to me in Jesus Christ. So this morning, the final storyboard. The takeaway. What is here for us to take away from this story this morning? You know, there are so many different lessons that we could take away from this story. But, you know, for me, the focus of the story has been on delivering the message. Delivering the message. And how God is delivering the message to us and through us to those around us in the world. To those who don't yet know the truth of the gospel that we have received concerning Christ. How is God calling us to work with him to deliver the message? That's the thing. You know, this story, it's all about how God is getting the message out to the world, how he is speaking to and through you and me as his witnesses. Which causes us to have to reflect on a few things. And I put these questions out to you today. How is God speaking to you today? How is he speaking to you today? Are you listening to God's voice speaking to you through the written word of God? This is the graphe, the written word of God. Are you hearing him speak to you through the stories that, like the stories that we've read and the other things that God has put in his word? Are you listening to him today through his word? If so, great. Wonderful. Keep taking that in. Keep listening for his voice. But another thing that we need to ask ourselves, are we listening to God's voice speaking to us through his rhema word? Through his rhema word. The word that God speaks to us through his spirit. You know, Jesus said, I will give you the spirit. I will pour out my spirit on you, and you will receive, have that counselor, the one that will walk with you, the one that will lead you into all truth. And you know, earlier on in the book of Acts, we learned that, you know, in these last days, God has poured out his spirit onto his people, and young men will see visions, and old men will dream dreams, and God will put in people's hearts that ability to prophesy with words of knowledge and understanding. Are we listening to God's Spirit speaking to us as the church today? Not just as a church, but as individuals, as God puts on our heart these visions, these dreams of, well, maybe you need to go over here to talk to this person. Or maybe you need to go over there. Or maybe someone's going to come to you and ask you to go to them because they had a vision or they had a dream. They can't understand it. They need someone to speak to them. How is the Spirit of God moving you today? Are you listening? Oh, church, are we listening? And then finally, are we open to listening to the voice of the Logos, the living word, Jesus himself? You know, oftentimes when we're reading all of the things in the Bible, we often don't really take heart to really listen to the red letter stuff that Jesus has spoken here, but also how Jesus is present today and he speaks into us with his voice, the voice of the shepherd, you know, the sheep who know the shepherd's voice. Are we listening to Jesus, being led by him? Because he has given us a message of reconciliation that we are to spread out to the world around us. The message that we're to deliver as his agents of reconciliation, as if God was making his appeal through us. I love that part. I love it. You know, this story of Cornelius and Peter is all about partnering with God, his Spirit, to faithfully deliver the message that God has entrusted to us. And when we do, there is an impact and an increase for the kingdom of God. For when God speaks his message into us, we are to speak that message out to others. And that's what the passage of scripture that was read just before this message was all about. And so I'd like to just remind you of those words that the Apostle Paul spoke in Romans 10, 8 to 15. Because this is really what this whole message is all about today that I'm delivering to you. The word is near you. Remember that. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message that we all have concerning faith, the faith that we proclaim in Jesus. That if we declare with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. For it is with our hearts that we believe and are justified, and it's with our mouth that we profess our faith and are saved. And as the scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame, for there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly bless all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But here's the truth. Here's the truth. How then can they call on the one whom they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not yet heard? And how can they hear unless someone preaches to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? For as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news that Jesus Christ has come, the good news that Jesus Christ desires a relationship with each and every person around us in this world. How will they know unless we deliver the message? Let's pray. Lord, just take these words, seal them in our hearts today. Help us to take lessons from Peter and Cornelius, this story, and help us to have hearts that are really soft towards you, Lord, to hear, to receive from you the word of life and then to be willing to give it out, Lord. Just give it away because it makes a difference in people's lives. And Lord, we don't know the one, people that are around us that you've been working on. You've been bringing them close. And Lord, when you bring us together with them, Lord, who knows the impact? You know the impact that will have if we just open our mouth and deliver the message. Lord, we leave all of the results for your kingdom to you, Lord, because you're the one who is leading and guiding, and your Holy Spirit is preparing our hearts and their hearts. And Lord, just give us the courage to be your witnesses in the world. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you for the work that you're doing in us and through us. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name.